All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
What's up? I'm Penn.
Hey, Penn. How you doing this week?
Man, I tell you what. First of all, happy Father's Day to me.
Oh, happy Father's Day to you, Penn.
Because you know what I got for Father's Day?
What?
They gave David some socks.
Amazing Grill Master socks, too. I come up to record. The girls are up here. They've got a gift for me. It was great.
The quote is, the most dad socks we could find.
These are so awesome.
Working the Grill Master 2000.
I cannot wait to show off my Father's Day gift.
You know who's a great father? Robin Williams in RV.
I was wondering where you're going.
That movie is great. But obviously the ultimate father
will
be Clark W. Griswold.
Well, of course.
So in addition to giving David some socks, my kids also gave me, Marley I think led the charge here, but they got one of those artsy craftsy things where you use the letters to form your own like inspiring message.
Uh-huh.
And the message that she wrote on it when she gave it to me said, I wouldn't be more surprised to see you if I woke up in the morning with my head sewn to the carpet. something like that. You know, the great Griswold quote when he sees Cousin Eddie in Christmas Vacation. So, but I'm having the most fantastic Father's Day and all the normal stuff.
Yeah.
Love my kids. Love my wife. We had incredible pancake breakfast. Whoa. You know, really nice day. But there was something special in the afternoon. And I feel a little bit silly for admitting this because you're gonna be like, I'm Mr. Late to the party.
Oh, boy.
But here's what it is.
Okay.
Kayla and I had a little downtime.
Uh-huh.
Flipping around, looking for something to watch together.
Yeah.
Arrested Development.
I saw this on the things that you were watching, and I was like, wait, is this the first time?
My life is complete. I love this show. I've dipped into this show before, but it never clicked. I don't know if I was in the wrong space when I watched it, or maybe you really need to know the characters or whatever, but somehow, in the previous times when I've like sort of tuned in,
okay,
it never caught me.
Well, you were always probably just watching like a random episode, right?
Right. Oh yeah.
Okay, you've got to watch it from the beginning.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what we did, and I'm like, I told Kayla, I said, this is my new favorite show. it's a lot like a TV version of Schitt's Creek, which is another show that I love.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not familiar with Schitt's Creek, you need to go.
I haven't watched it yet. It's on Hulu or Amazon.
I don't know.
But it's
keep those all straight.
Yeah. I've been trying to get someone to watch it, and I'm just like, it's so funny. Why?
Oh,
why won't you just give in?
Yeah. It's so good. And I finally get the Mr. Manager reference.
There you go.
So happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. I know there's a lot of listeners, and Mystery Gobble, you know, is a previous Dad of the Year recipient.
Whoa.
Yeah, number one dad fan. I believe one year he got number one dad, another year he got Dad of the Year.
What?
I think one year he got World's Greatest Dad. Oh yeah, this guy, man. He
wins all the awards.
Yeah, he's got a trophy case full of them.
Hey, we have something else to celebrate other than Father's Day.
Tell me.
I think yesterday was a certain anniversary.
Whoa.
Between two lovebirds.
Two young kids.
Two young kids just loving it up. Penn and Amy Ketchum.
I'm trying to come up with a quote from Jack and Diane. But yeah, that's us. Yeah, happy anniversary to my wife, Amy. Boy, man, we have a good time. We have a lot of fun. And you know what she got me for our anniversary is we met in college.
Mm-hmm.
And where we used to hang out a lot when we were first dating was the music building, because I play piano and I used to be in there learning all these Grateful Dead songs. And so she went on Amazon and got an old, like a historic postcard of that building. It says like Susquehanna University, Heilman Hall, you know, blah, blah, blah. And the postcard's from like 100 years ago or whatever. But it was cool. It was, you know, very thoughtful.
Very cool.
Yep.
And did you, I'm assuming you played her a song for?
I did.
Yeah.
Not. That was my gift to her, was not making her listen to me sing Stella Blue again.
Her favorite gift of the year.
Right, right. It's a gift that gives the whole year round.
Yeah, Mark. Yeah. So, all right, let's jump into this news. Yep. We got, I mean, heavy hitters, big soft
stuff.
Hitters.
Big stuff.
I'm in all the things.
I want to just say,
yeah,
I'm a man of my word.
Oh.
I commit. I'm a committer. That's what I do. So for that reason,
how many years?
For that reason, there will be no Bond news today. And if you're sour on that, you got to go to last week, 20.1, episode 20.1, and catch up on all your latest Bond news.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And it's not that there wasn't any.
No, there was a boatload.
Because people were like, did you guys see this news? Right. We were like, we can't.
What? No.
But did you hear about the proposed new wager?
Oh, my God. Yes.
To see who can report on more Dune news or Bond news. Suicide Squad wins.
Yes.
Okay. Mandy Kaling recently confirmed to MTV News that she's in talk with Marvel Studios about a potential Miss Marvel movie or television series. Do you know about this?
I do not.
Okay, so Captain Marvel was originally Miss Marvel, right? And now there's a new Miss Marvel who, in the comics, she is a fan of Miss Marvel, who's Captain Marvel now. And so she takes her name and gets blessed with her name. Like, you can use it.
Okay.
And she's more like, she's a Indian woman. So it has, like, it deals with, like, Arabic faith and stuff as well. And like, she has, like, stretchy morpher powers, kind of like Mr. Fantastic-ish.
Okay.
I'm probably abbreviating her powers, but she's really cool.
But she has powers.
She has power. And she's super, she's, like, got a really awesome lightning bolt costume and sweet scarf, like the old Miss Marvel used to have. So I really like the character. So I'm curious is if Mindy is going to play her. I think she's a little old for the, because the character's like a teenager. Right. I mean, I guess they could go with whatever.
Right.
But I think it could be really cool. Because, I mean, they kind of need to start introducing newer, younger characters. Because these movies have been going on for a long time, and they're going to keep going.
I hate to say it, but Mindy Kaling is getting to that point in her career where she's not newer, younger characters.
Right.
She brings an element of diversity, which is great.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she's...
Well, that's what I'm saying.
She's not an up-and-comer anymore. Like, there's a certain point where you're no longer a rookie.
Yeah. I mean, maybe... I guess it all depends. If they don't play it as a teenager, if they play her as, like, a 20-something or whatever, like, sure, yeah, fine. Like, that's fine.
What's that superhero movie? I'm drawing a blank on it. The guy's costume is, like, green, and he's a regular guy, bunch of kids who, like, dress up, and, like, the dad is a villain...
Kick-Ass,
yes.
Yeah.
That's where I thought you were going to go with this when you were saying she's a fan of Captain Marvel.
No, she has powers.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would be cool, though. Like, Kick-Ass went for the edgy, you know, sort of super bad meets Suicide Squad type of look. But that would be a cool idea for a comic, like a person who does not have powers. And I know, like, the whole Batman thing, but I'm talking about, like, almost like an ally to the Avengers or to one of the Marvel characters, or I guess to the... I
mean, the Punisher. That's the Punisher.
Yeah?
Kick-Ass was a comic.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So take the Kick-Ass model and drop the, you know... The uber violence and also the sort of sophomoric jokes and, you know, stuff like that. And just sort of go for, like, a normal...
Take the parody out of it.
Right. That's the word I'm looking for. Yeah, Take the parody out of it and make it an actual sort of feature film superhero plot.
Yeah. I'd be down for that. That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool. So, moving on here, I wasn't sure how to break this to you because I know it's probably going to... You're probably going to stop the show to go do some more research. But Sony Animation is... developing an animated film starring the Spice Girls?
Say it ain't so.
Well, say what you want. What you really, really want. It's this show. You gotta get with my friends, man.
That's it.
Right? I don't even know what to say about this. Our question. Are the Spice Girls still relevant?
Okay. Obviously, they're not. That's like what you call a false question. Podcast at PennCinema.com. If you want to defend the Spice Girls, be the first to write in and tell us why they're still relevant. The Spice Girls, I'm willing to go out on a limb and say the Spice Girls are, in fact, not relevant.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean they can't be in a movie. So my question is, if Sony Animation is developing an animated film about the Spice Girls, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
If they're developing an animated film and the Spice Girls are the cast of main characters, like, all right.
Just the voices, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, all right. Okay, they're all talented, you know, people. I'm not trying to throw them under the bus. But for the love of God, like, we don't need a Spice Girls movie.
But hold up. What if we take it back to, like, the classic age? I'm talking the 80s. When, like, a band would have a cartoon where the band was also, like, some sort of superhero team or crime team.
You're talking about
team.
Josie and the Pussycats.
Yeah, Josie and the Pussycats or Jem and
Partridge
the Holograms.
Partridge Family.
Or, yeah, the Partridge Family.
Remember
the Brady Bunch?
Brady Bunch. Wait a minute. I feel like we're offline a little bit. Do you remember the movie Jem and the Holograms?
Oh, and how horrible it was.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm driving at.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of times, and this is relevant to Spice Girls movie, but it's also relevant in general. And it's a little bit relevant to what I said about Kick-Ass and what they could do there. I think a lot of movies that fail when they try to be too many different things.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, I think Jem and the Holograms intended to be funny, but it also tried to be like a legit movie. But it also tried to be like a kid's movie. And it was like just tried so many different things and it didn't do any of them.
So what you're saying is it needs to be more on point, like Kiss and Scooby-Doo when they did a movie together.
Exactly. Right. And speaking of relevant, let's get Kiss out, you know, and put them on stage with the Spice Girls and animate them. And
I mean, that's all I've ever wanted.
Don't act like that's not what you want.
What I really, really want. Right. All right, give me some news, Ben.
I got some Home Alone news.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Macaulay Culkin has denied the rumors that he's in talks to play the Joker in Matt Reeves' The Batman.
How do you feel about that?
Who? I mean, Macaulay Culkin, I get it. I feel bad for the guy because he's forever home alone.
Right.
Right. That's like sort of the curse.
Right.
You know. All right. Let's let this story simmer for a little bit and review the other piece of news that I brought to the table.
Oh, please.
They have announced now the four villains for Matt Reeves, the Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Batman comes out in the spring of 21. Sidebar, summer of 21, are we suddenly really looking forward to 2021? I mean, it feels like we're always talking about some really good movies that are sort of teeing up for the summer of 21, no?
I think it's summer 20. Like, they say 2020, but you're just like, they mean 2021.
Oh, gotcha.
Because it's like, they're not going to be done in time.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so the four villains in The Batman have been revealed to be, I'm really excited about this, the Riddler, Firefly, Penguin, and Catwoman.
Okay.
And as part of that same story, Matt Reeves announced that he's planning, or I don't know if he announced it, but it was announced that Matt Reeves is approaching this as a trilogy. I think that's great news.
So these three villains are just going to be in that movie or across the trilogy?
That was not clear.
Okay.
I read it like it was in the first one, but I'm not 100%.
That is a lot of villains. Well, I guess Firefly could be a henchman. And they could be building up, like, the other guys don't have to be the main villains. They could just be, like, built up.
Right.
Maybe the Riddler works with the Penguin for something, but the Penguin's not, like, the guy he fights.
Right.
Or something like that. Okay.
But wait a minute. This begs the question. If the four villains are the Riddler, Firefly, Penguin, and Catwoman.
Yeah.
Why are we talking about whether or not Macaulay Culkin's going to play the Joker?
Here's the thing about Macaulay Culkin. Off the radar for a long time.
Yeah.
All of a
Just
sudden,
like Bill Murray.
Yeah.
No, nothing like
nothing
Bill Murray.
Nothing like Bill Murray. Where's the Murray?
Right.
We know where the Murray
is.
Where's
the Murray?
But the Culkin, where's the Culkin?
Yeah.
He he's recently started to research on the interwebs, being a part of like internet YouTube shows and stuff, like Red Letter Media. He's been a part of a bunch of their stuff. He looks like, because he's cleaned himself for a while, he looked super hippie-ish and like grungy.
Yeah.
And now it looks more like an adult. And he looks like he could be the Joker. Like, he's got, like, he's skinny. He's got, like, if he wanted to, he could do a creepy smile and I think a creepy laugh.
Yeah.
I think that he could play a Joker. And hands on the face. He could play the Joker and it would be cool. I don't think he needs to play the Joker. I think the Joker needs to be put to rest a little
bit. Wait. I don't understand. I don't understand why we're having this conversation.
Because it's a rumor and we're talking
about it. First of all.
Yeah.
The Joker comes out in October of this year.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's why we don't need another Joker.
Right. And second of all, we're talking about these other four villains. Nobody's even talking about the Joker being in this movie.
Well,
this is what you call a hoax. This is a red herring. Okay. This is like Macaulay Culkin trying to be in the, you know.
Wait, if it's a hoax, how come you weren't the one reporting on it?
Fair enough.
So, who's your favorite Batman villain? And then who's your favorite of these four Batman villains?
Oh, my God. Well, so you're asking, like, in general.
Yeah. I mean, general question and then specifically these
four. Yeah, my favorite is the Joker.
Okay.
Heath Ledger, but in general the Joker, as especially sort of specifically as played, performed by Heath Ledger.
Okay.
My favorite of these four, along the same lines, but I understand it's completely different, is Riddler.
Okay.
Unless Catwoman's hot.
Anne Hathaway.
Right, exactly. I don't want this movie to be funny. I'm not saying that.
No.
Nobody does. But there's an element of fun. There's an element. I like a bad guy who's having fun while he's doing bad stuff. Even Jack Nicholson as the Joker, or was he the Riddler? He was the Joker. Even Jack Nicholson as the Joker, as bad as that movie was, when he walks in and he's got the boombox on his shoulder and they're spray painting the art and he's like dancing around, like, whatever. I'm not trying to defend that movie or that role, but that was kind of crazy, like, you know, kind of fun. And like, I still go back to the scene in The Dark Knight when the Joker is hanging upside down from that building and the camera like rights itself.
Mm-hmm.
So even though he's hanging upside down, he's now on screen, correct?
Yeah.
And his coat is like hanging above his head. And he's still laughing. He's still having a good time. That was just one of the like most impressive, stunning cinematic moments that I could point a finger to.
Hmm.
I thought it was incredible.
So my favorite Batman villain is the Riddler. So my favorite Batman villain out of these four is the
Catwoman.
It's Catwoman. Is the Riddler, unless Catwoman's hot.
So why the Riddler?
Because I like that he's like all brains.
Yeah.
So like in Jim Carrey is
kind of like us.
Yeah, kind of like us. Exactly like us. Jim Carrey as the Riddler was a very different Riddler than what I liked.
Yeah.
I like the fact that the Riddler's real smart. He like makes all these traps.
Right.
He wants to get caught, but he wants to fool. Like, it's all like puzzles for Batman to do. I've always really liked that aspect of Enigma. Get his name?
Wait, what?
Huh? Yeah. So I always really, and plus a green suit with question marks.
Right.
If I could pull that off, I would be wearing it right now. So anyway, all right. So moving on. Quentin Tarantino. This is back to some news that we kind of touched on.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
You are now about to report news that we discussed. I thought we were joking. I thought we were like, I mean, I thought we were kind of fooling around. Oh, there was a story a couple years ago. He was going to direct Star Trek. And then I laughed. And it was like really funny. Oh, my God. Wouldn't that be funny if Quentin Tarantino directed Star Trek? And and we all like had a good laugh. And then Pirate Dave like set us straight. And we both did some research. And wow.
Boom.
Hit me.
Quentin Tarantino confirmed to Empire magazine his Star Trek film will be, as reported years ago, profanity-laden and rated R. And I read elsewhere, he said the script is done. So, like, it's set. Will it happen? I don't know. I heard Shatner was behind it. He was like, go for it.
I'm of two minds on this.
Uh-huh.
Because I agree with everyone. Dave wrote in. You and I talked about it. And everybody sort of says, like, oh, like just what I said a minute ago, trying to be too many different things. Like, either make a Star Trek movie or make a Tarantino movie.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's making a Star Trek movie, it's either going to be a Tarantino movie that's about Star Trek or it's going to be Star Trek, you know. So I sort of feel, like, hesitant and skeptical. But then on the other hand, wouldn't this be the ultimate, like, fresh, like, science fiction approach? Like, with all due respect to the guys who I love, I mean, J.J. Abrams, Christopher Nolan, like, all these guys, amazing science fiction. But wouldn't it be refreshing to sort of see Tarantino's take on sci-fi and one of the greatest, you know, sort of franchises of all time? That's not – I feel like franchise is not even doing respect to Star Trek, but you know what I mean? Like,
so do you think he goes – known crew cast or new cast, known crew or totally new everything?
Whew. Well, off. Let's see. Who do we know? We know, like, doesn't he usually work with all the same people?
That's true. Who's Samuel L. Jackson going to play?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Travolta will be.
I feel like he could go new crew, new ship. It could be its own thing.
Yeah.
And it could be amazing and start its own, like,
right,
spin-off series of movies, maybe.
Right.
If he goes with the Abrams movies, that could be very interesting.
Yeah.
But those movies, they went from, like, fun sci-fi to, like, Fast and the Furious action. So, I mean, they could go that way if they wanted to. It would be a bit of a switch to get it that hard, but I don't know.
I think he goes new.
Yeah, I think new.
But this is exactly my point. Is that it'll be fun to find out.
Yeah.
Like, you know it's Tarantino, so you know it's going to be good.
Right.
And I hear you. It's weird, you know, and maybe it's not the best. But if it's true, which it certainly looks like it is, then wow, that's – like you said last week about Magic 8-Ball. You said, well, let's just see what the trailer looks like.
Yeah,
you know?
Let's see what the trailer
– And that's kind of how I feel like about Star Trek. Like – no comment until we start hearing leaked news, like if a crew member twisted his ankle.
That's the kind of news I need.
That's the kind of investigative stuff we need to hear about, you know. Like, is all the crew healthy? What'd they have for lunch? Did anybody have a tummy ache? You know.
Did it rain yesterday? Right.
No, we don't need to know about the script. We just want to know what's happening on set.
Oh, man. Okay. More up in the air, exciting news. Kid Cudi, one of your favorite artists, he's joined the cast of Bill and Ted Face the Music in an undisclosed but quote-unquote significant role.
Am I just old for not knowing who Kid Cudi is?
I was going to say, if I gave you a lineup of like 28 people, could you pick six people?
No.
You could give me a lineup of one person, and I still wouldn't know who Kid Cudi was.
Right. Are you sure it's not Cutie?
It's Sweetness, right?
Right. Kid Cudi's.
Yeah. This means absolutely nothing to me. I don't remember if we reported or not. They did cast the daughters in it. So I don't know if the wives are back, but their daughters are going to be a part of it. So.
Bill and Ted?
Yeah. Because I guess in the last one, they got girlfriends, right?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
Who the hell knows? What are you talking about? Why would...
Well, they have daughters, and they're going to be... And there was like a headline. It's like Bill and Ted...
Had kids?
Had their daughters have been cast for the movie. And
I feel like when...
teenagers or something.
I feel like when my old friends from high school, like, find me on Facebook or something, and... and then they see that I have kids. They're like, oh, God. Oh God! That's, Penn has kids.
That's the exact same, thing.
Mercy, mercy me! I feel like, you know, Marley should expect to like get an email from like Jim being like, "Dude, I'm really, you know, if you need anything, here's my number.
Just call."
You wake up one day and Penn's your dad.
Do you understand who he is?
That's how I feel about finding out that Bill and Ted like have kids. Oh, brother.
So, give me some news.
No, I'm hoping, I'm looking for news here.
Yeah.
You got any news on Anne Hathaway? I mean, I know, whatever, you know. Are you going to deny?
Like that was like the biggest stalker like thing. You tell me, what do you know? Have you been this week, what did you dig up on Anne
David,
Hathaway?
I, enough of this soft, fun, laughing, kidding around.
Serious business.
Fooling around here. I need to confront you with something.
Oh, shoot.
Yes.
Hit me hard.
I hate to do this right in front of all our listeners and everything like that, but I need you to address the rumors that are going around Lancaster County that you hooked up with Anne Hathaway. Are you going to deny those rumors?
Look, I can neither confirm nor deny any type things. All I know is we met once about 8 or 9 months before she had her kid.
Right. This feels like Macaulay Culkin denying that he's the Joker.
Joker. Fake news.
The odds are the same.
I love it. Now I'm like, Culkin's gotta be the Joker, because that means I have a chance.
Right. You totally have a chance. You put those socks on. You put those Real dad master. Socks on, man, and cruise the street.
Hey, girl.
Yeah, girl. Anne Hathaway's going to be on set going, hey, who's that dude over there in the socks?
I need his name and his number now. Well, speaking of Anne Hathaway, she just gradually walked right into that.
Beautiful segue.
Yeah. Her Sesame Street movie.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's been delayed till April 2020.
When was it? Oh, my God. When was it supposed to come out?
I don't know. I mean, will I watch this movie? I can't say that I might not.
I will definitely watch this movie. 100%.
It's got two things that we love, Big Bird and Anne Hathaway.
You had me at Sesame Street. I mean, to be honest, I'm not saying that, like, nobody's a fan of Sesame Street because we all watched it when we were, like, six.
Right. Well, the old Sesame Street movies and Pee-wee movies, like, they were good. They were good movies.
And then after Sesame Street was over, Electric Company came on. I used to stay home from school, like fake sick. I'd be sick. And then I was never allowed to watch TV, but if I was home sick, I could watch like some TV. I don't know what my parents were doing, but they were off doing parent things.
Yeah.
And I'd be watching, you know, I'd pick one of the three channels and find PBS and watch Sesame Street and wait for it to be over. And then watch Electric Company and wait until they had the Spider-Man. You remember that?
Yeah. Right.
That was the best part of being homesick.
And then when it was time to turn TV off, your dad pulled the breakers.
Bastard.
Hey, I don't know when this was for, but I think it's kind of cool they're doing that.
I think it's kind of cool. I'm a little concerned that we're sitting here in June of 2019, and you're telling me it was delayed to April 2020. Which means that it was supposed to be released presumably sometime in 2019, and it's not anywhere on my radar.
Yeah.
That causes me anxiety.
I feel like 2020 is like a wormhole for movies, because we're always talking about stuff being scheduled for or pushed back to 2020, and I keep thinking, how? Like, it used to take like 4 years to make movies.
Right.
And now they're like, well, we're going to make this movie. It'll be out in
next
10
week.
Months. Yeah. And it'll be amazing, and you should be hyped for it.
Right.
And I don't know. Has technology just come that far, or is it just they're not telling us about it until it's like moved on, or is this just in my head?
Well, James Cameron has not adapted any of the fast-moving technology. He's still sticking with the slow-moving technology. Avatar 2 just got pushed back to 2025. You heard it here first.
Yeah, that is 100% true.
Which is ironic because, of course, I'm being sarcastic. He's the most innovative, cutting-edge, technologically advanced dude out there.
Mm-hmm.
Probably literally, right?
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, I think that's part of the reason that he slows down so much.
Because he's busy inventing new ways to make movies.
Yeah, either that... Well, that plus, like, they have these new things and they got to figure out how to use them.
Yeah, I go back and forth on him. Because...
Like with your car?
I met him. I got a picture of me with him.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, right before Inception came out.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, here's where I go back and forth with James Cameron.
Okay.
He's one of my favorites, and I am quick to recognize him as a legit genius, groundbreaking, one of the best directors ever. Mm-hmm. Okay? Right? I'm not arguing that. But my problem is, like, at some point, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of like a rock star.
Uh-huh.
Make the album and go on tour. Don't spend 4 years constructing the perfect album. Like, it's a good album after X amount, or I'll just get back to the movies. A good movie after 2 years of work, if you take 4 years to make it, it doesn't get twice as good. It gets a little bit better.
Right.
You know what I mean? And now if you take 6 years to make it, it gets a little bit less better. You know what I mean? Like, at some point, make the damn movie. Obviously, he's a master storyteller. Nobody's arguing that. Tell your story. Make the movie with what you have. Invent some more new stuff. Make another new movie.
Yeah.
So, that's how I feel about James Cameron.
Come on, Karen.
Step it up.
Step from Penn's mouth.
Yeah. Podcast at Penn Cinema. Come at me, James. What's up? I ain't scared. What, you think I'm scared? I ain't scared.
We're going to have an email tomorrow from him. Cease and desist.
All right.
Yeah.
I have a little news that is specific to Lancaster County.
Okay.
So in Lancaster, the first week of what?
David and Anne Hathaway may be dating.
So is that the headline? David Moulton denies rumors of him
being with Anne Hathaway.
Right.
The title of the show.
David Moulton denied recent rumors that he's in bed with Anne Hathaway. What was that movie? Oh my god, it was so good. They did that to Michael Keaton. The whole entire movie was filmed like nonstop or like one or two.
Was that Birdman?
Yeah. It was amazing. I love them. I have the poster in the hallway. And they did that to him. The press was in his office and they said, is it, I forget what it was, but it was like, is it true that you eat like, you know, sheep's balls or something like that for dinner? And Michael's like, what? What the hell kind of question is that? And the reporter goes, okay, so you deny eating sheep's balls. You know? He's like, I'm not denying eating sheep's balls. What? Like, he's so left field, like completely out of the blue. Oh, I love it. All right, Birdman, if you missed it,
check it out.
Add that to your list.
Yeah,
it's a quality movie. Mm-hmm. If you think you're a movie fan and you haven't seen Birdman, drop what you're doing, press pause on the podcast, and go watch Birdman.
Right.
Now, Lancaster peeps.
Okay.
Because I know we got listeners. Oh, I got more news for you. But this is related to Red Rose Film Festival.
Okay.
We got listeners, what, California, Maryland, Delaware, New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts?
Something like that.
Saw a couple in New England. The Red Rose Film Festival has an intern. Give him a shout out. His name's Ryan. Don't get him confused with the executive director of the Red Rose Film Festival, who's also named Ryan.
Whoa.
But Ryan the intern,
yeah,
who has a nickname that I can't say on air. We had lunch with him.
Super professional.
And we gave him a wildly inappropriate nickname. Just to see if I could make him blush.
Did it work?
I couldn't tell. You know, these young kids, they laugh. And, you know, he's I don't know how old he is, but he's in college. Anyway, so he goes to college at Notre Dame and he lives in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in Lancaster doing an internship for the Red Rose Film Festival. So I told him that I want podcast listeners in Michigan and Indiana by the end of the summer. So that's his mission.
It's got to get done.
That's what he's going to write on his intern report. Yeah. I don't know, some guy, I don't know what his actual role was, but he made me go get podcasts in other states.
He comes back, not good at his internship, didn't get enough listeners in Indiana.
Ryan sucks. Love Penn. Red Rose, baby!
What's up?
Okay, so quit fooling around.
Okay.
I got real news to talk.
Real news.
If you haven't heard, the Red Rose Film Festival, legit film festival. I get people all the time, or I used to, but now they don't because there's a legit film festival. I used to get people all the time Ben, I'm doing a film festival, and it's going to be so cool, and it's the coolest thing, and you should help me do it. And I'm always like, whatever. But now we have an actual guy who knows what he's doing. Ryan Shank is the director of the film festival. Shout out to Ryan. And
I met him. He's real.
Yeah. He's a real dude, not a figment of my imagination. And so we're – Penn Cinema is heavily involved, even though the entire film festival is happening in downtown Lancaster. But our commitment to cinema and the arts and film and independent filmmakers – Zootropolis is involved, our good friends at Zootropolis. Their new restaurant, by the way, we should go.
Yeah?
I've been, and it's amazing.
All right.
I got to take you there.
We got to hit it.
So anyway, this film festival is the beginning of November, and it's legit. There's real prize money. It's like, I want to, I don't know if, I forget if it's $25,000 in total prize money or if it's $25,000 to the top filmmaker, but like filmmakers can submit. And the deadline is still open. So if you know a filmmaker and you're listening to this, let them know. Red Rose Film Festival is still accepting. And we've got some legit filmmakers from around the country. So this August, as an effort to promote the film festival, Penn Cinema is hosting a series of films in Lititz.
Okay.
So I don't want to confuse anybody. This is not the film festival.
Mm-hmm.
This is a series of films intended to promote the film festival.
Are these films in the festival?
No. They're all like mainstream movies.
Okay.
So they're each being presented by a member of the community.
Okay.
So we got, and I don't want to say who's presenting them, but they're, I'll do that like in the next week or two once we're all lined up. Everybody has verbally told me they're on board, but I just don't want to embarrass anybody in case like a schedule.
Because I can neither confirm nor deny that Anne Hathaway and I will be hosting
one. right. But we have... the documentary March of the Penguins,
okay,
which might be replaced with the movie Wild. Remember the movie Wild?
Yeah.
So we have a guy who has a real passion. These are all high profile community people. You'll know their names when I announce them next week. But he's doing a documentary, some kind of environmental type of documentary. Then we got a movie Without Limits, the 1998 movie about Steve Prefontaine, who is a American track star.
Okay.
And then we got this guy I can announce because I know he's locked in. Sam Bressy from Lancaster Community Foundation.
Okay.
Now, this guy's known throughout the community for being a giver, being a nonprofit. He does philanthropy. Like, this guy, he's sort of the genius behind the annual give and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And but he's what you might not know is he has a real passion for guitars and rock and roll. So my boy's playing This Is Spinal Tap. So we got This Is Spinal Tap locked up.
That's so awesome.
Yep. And then we have, this is not official yet, but we're working with Sight and Sound to get a premiere of their show, their stage show, which they filmed a movie version of called Jesus.
Okay.
And if we can get that confirmed, Josh Hank is going to come out and show that. And then we have Mark Robin from the Fulton Theater showing the 1939 Wizard of Oz.
Oh.
And if you know Mark, this guy is fascinating. He's a good friend of mine, and he is one of the most interesting, smart, insightful people. And the Wizard of Oz, I mean, Mark has been personally, he's the reason why the Fulton has turned around so much over the last however many, many years. He's an absolute genius, and The Wizard of Oz has played a very personal role in his life.
Yeah.
You know, so this is sort of what, it's like going way back to early Mark Robin. You know, so he's going to personally talk about what this movie means to him, and then we're all going to watch a movie. So I can't wait to announce those details.
That sounds awesome.
But I wanted to share those film titles with you if there's any listeners that are excited about Without Limits, the Steve Prefontaine movie, The Wizard of Oz, This Is Spinal Tap. So that's all coming in August. Details will be announced next week. And then I have another piece of news for you. Our last little bit of news. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you sitting down?
No.
All right.
Hold on.
Hang on. Pull it.
Okay, I'm sitting down.
What does David sitting down sound like? Whatever that is, cue it up. He's sitting down.
Like clown noises.
A cat squealing. Oh, shit. He sat on the cat again. David, how many times have we been through this?
Don't sit
on the office cat. My God. People. All right, listen. Now that you're... Now that we got you. Oh my God.
Podcast at PennCinema.com.
Oh, shout out to Amy. All right, listen, David.
Yeah.
Quit fooling around.
Okay, I'm not fooling around.
I got
around
a story
anymore.
To share with you. I was at a grad party last night, one of the 14 million that we've been to this year. And I was talking to a guy, an actual human being.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's plenty of people. The topic that we're discussing that I'm circling around here is Avengers Endgame. You remember that movie? It came out a while back.
Wow.
Yeah.
This year.
Yeah. So there's a lot of people, I get it. There's some people who aren't into superhero movies.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
So there's a good portion of people who have never seen Avengers and won't see Avengers.
Right.
That's fine. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But what blew my mind is that there are still people walking around among us. They look just like you and me, but they haven't seen Avengers. And they want to.
What? What happened this year?
I don't get it.
Who? Why?
You know what they say? Wait, you're saying it to yourself right now at home. You're listening to this, and you know what I'm going to say. I'm busy. Yeah, bullshit. We're all busy.
Yeah.
I don't, again, if Avengers isn't your thing, like, that's fine. Yes. Whatever. But if you're trying to tell me that you're a Marvel fan.
Right.
And you haven't seen Avengers yet, I might need to take back your Marvel card. You don't have to be there on opening.
Your life card.
You don't need to be on their opening night. I don't even care. You don't have to be their opening weekend.
Right.
You don't have to be a hardcore fan. You can wait weeks to see it. That's no problem.
I don't know about this guy.
But to sit 8, 9, 10 weeks into a run and then...
Here's the thing. When we do our party...
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
For the last screening of Avengers Endgame, we need to ask if it's anybody's first time.
Okay.
Because that's going to blow my mind.
Yeah.
If it's anyone's...
How about... You know what we should do? We should invite podcast@penncinema.com. If you want to tell me with a straight face that this is your first time, I will print you out a pass to see Avengers on Thursday night, June 20th at 7:45 p.m.
Is that it?
That's it.
That's it. All right. I didn't know we had a date yet.
We do. It's in your notes.
Okay.
What I like to do is when I know David is in transit, when he's already left his desk, I quick print out all new notes. Slide them in, and then it makes me feel better about myself that I
knew. So you did do stuff to the notes this week.
Right.
Yeah.
So Avengers, I think I was peeking ahead. I think Toy Story, which opens Friday the 21st, I think Toy Story is going to knock out Avengers.
Wait, is that this week?
Yeah. I think that's going to be the end of Avengers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait.
Suddenly,
so we're doing the party this Thursday?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't even know if I can be there.
What? Are we even doing the party? need to talk.
Here's the thing. I'm not saying whether or not we're doing a party, but
that's the last.
I have two things to say. First of all, if you write me and tell me that you're a fan and you haven't seen it, I will print you out a pass for the 7:45 p.m. show. Actually, screw it. I'll print you out a pass for any show you want between now and Thursday.
Oh, wow.
June 20th. But the cool kids, here's what I did. I moved the 7:45 p.m. show on Thursday, June 20th,
mm-hmm.
is currently scheduled in Theater 7.
Mm-hmm.
I have now moved it to Theater 3, which is a much bigger, more beautiful presentation.
Right.
So the last show of Avengers will be in the big theater, 7:45, Thursday night.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's intense.
Yeah.
I'm kind of blown away that it's this week already.
Yeah. Now listen, there's a little caveat. Because we're recording this show before I booked stuff.
Right.
So it's possible that Disney could talk me into it. But here's the problem. Here's why I think it's going to go away. Disney has been, it already went away from Huntington Valley.
Yeah.
Because Disney has been pretty much all or nothing on this movie. So I'm not sure that they're going to let me split it. And even if they let me play one matinee, because the movie is 3:02, 3 hours and 2
right.
minutes, I don't know if I have room for one matinee.
Yeah.
Because if I have room for one matinee, I'm probably going to play another Toy Story.
So this is it. So even if it goes on a little bit, we're calling this it.
We're calling it it.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
What
I'm hopeful for, but you have to follow our Facebook page,
yeah.
is that you and I can be there Thursday night. I'm not promising to be there, but I'm hopeful. And we'll announce details on Thursday night, or I mean, we'll announce details on our Facebook page, on the Penn Cinema Podcast Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And maybe we'll give away some t-shirts and do some trivia and have some fun.
Yeah. Well, that's something to look forward to. So that's the news for this week. Like 4 years later, we got through the news.
I'm exhausted.
My word. New trailers. Not a whole lot of them. Enough of them. Some good ones.
Yeah.
Open me up with your favorite. Pick of the week.
Pick of the week?
Pick of the week.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, no, I can't.
You can't.
Are you like, teasing me about Frozen?
No. I want to know, because I want to know if our picks of the week are the same.
Oh, okay. So you're asking me legitimately, what's my pick
of the week? Yeah. What's your pick of the
week? Okay, here it is, and I'm not trying to be funny.
Yeah.
I had no idea what this movie was.
Uh-huh.
My pick of the week is Love and Toja.
Yeah. This movie.
That's my pick of the week. Okay. Is that yours?
No. But it's high up there.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I put this on the list because I thought it looked so amazing.
Yeah. I will say, and can I guess, is your pick of the week Dr. Sleep?
No.
Oh, because I thought Dr. Sleep was amazing.
That's also really good, too. But my pick of the week is the Stuber Red Band.
All right.
This movie looks amazing.
Your name is Uber? My name is Stu. Your name is Uber? Stu. Uber? Stu. Stuber?
Stuber.
So walk us through this trailer, David.
So the Stuber trailer?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Red Band, right?
Yeah, Red Band. Yeah, the Red Band banner or whatever.
The Red Band.
Yeah. So basically we got a couple new dirtier jokes in there. It looks hilarious. A little bit more story behind what's going on with Stu and the whole thing. Like he's helping the cop, you know, San Juan, Dave Bautista do whatever. But then he's got a girl who wants him to come over it's not sure if it's 'cause she needs him because she's upset or because she wants some fun times, but it looks funny.
Fun times. What? Like Scrabble?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boggle.
Boggle.
Yeah.
Yeah, specifically Boggle. I don't know. The one part, she texts him like four roses, and he's like emojis. He's like, right. Four roses. And the other guy's like, ooh, must be Thursday. And I was like, what does that mean? Yeah. This movie, adequately hilarious. I think Dave Bautista's chops are just growing as far as like comedy-wise. And I mean, it's going to have action in it too.
Yeah.
Just the whole scene where he shoots the gun and it doesn't work, so he throws it, and the guy catches the gun, beats Dave Bautista, and then throws it back at him.
Right.
And
I think the movie looks appropriately cheesy, and it could be like good, fun, end of summer.
Yeah.
I wasn't quite as impressed as you. I'm not making a pick of the week, but I definitely, I'll definitely be watching this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. We both loved Booksmart.
Yes.
And we raved about it for such a long time.
Right.
And I think this looks really funny, but I always am now worried about, like, will people find it as funny?
I think this movie is way more mainstream than Booksmart.
Yeah, you're right.
This movie is a little bit more like Game Night or...
Plus, whatever his name is on fire right now. Kamal.
Yeah.
Whatever his name is. He's on fire.
Yeah.
So
Kamal and the Night Visitors.
Yeah. So tell me about your pick of the week.
Well, my pick of the week was Love and Toja, which I was devastated just watching this trailer.
Mm-hmm.
What's the guy's full name? I forget it. But
Anton Yelchin.
Anton Yelchin.
Yeah.
So why is he signed the letters Antosha? Is that like his...
That might be his real name.
His little nickname
Anton,
or something.
Anton might be his American name.
Oh, right. Anton Yelchin. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this actor who... I can't sit here and tell you what he was in, but if you Google him, like, you'll see he was in a ton of stuff. He was in Star Trek, mm-hmm. and he was in, even as a kid, it looked like he was a child actor. And do you know the story? Like, I don't know how he died. Is he...
Yeah, I do.
Was it suicide?
No.
No, it was tragic, though, right?
Well, yeah. So he was in his garage, and his garage had a slight tilt to it, and the brakes on his parked car failed and pinned him against the wall and killed him.
Oh, my God.
And they'd had to do, like, recalls on the car and stuff. I forget what type of car it was.
Yeah.
But that's how he died. It was just, he wasn't doing anything dangerous. He was just in his garage, and the brakes in his car failed and pinned him against the wall and killed him.
So this movie is a documentary.
Yeah.
And I think it looks amazing. I'm not sure if it's going to go wide enough to get to Lititz or Huntington Valley or Wilmington, but...
Probably Zootropolis, at least.
You think?
Well, I mean, this seems like their type of movie. If it doesn't get here, I would think it would be there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, it looks good. The trailer's interesting. It's called Love, Antosia, and it looks like a real tearjerker. His mom is in the movie reading letters from him. Made me want to write letters. Made me want to, like, write. Nah. Just kidding.
I'm just thinking about our emails back and forth.
Our emails are way more professional than, like, our podcast, right?
I always laugh because sometimes, like, when we're joking around, you have the serious, it will be funny, but, like, your tone will be, like, just fine. But then when, like, the most simple thing will come across, like, you'll open with, like, the biggest expletive ever, and it'll be like, what? It just cracks me up.
I'm not sure what you're talking about. I don't care for that kind of colorful language.
Of course not.
No.
Yeah.
Dang it.
I'm making things up. Must have been Drew.
Right. Must have been Drew. Definitely either Drew or Kayla.
Probably Kayla.
That kid's got a mouth like you wouldn't believe. Like a drunken sailor, kid.
When I run into when I run into her at Sheets, it's like, I don't know you.
Make you blush.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, speaking of, let me talk about a trailer that you weren't fortunate enough to see.
Hit me.
So we have this new thing, this studio that we deal with called UA Releasing.
Mm-hmm.
Which formerly, I'm going to blank on who they formerly were, but it was one of these like smaller studios that changed their name, and they have a movie coming out called Bad Trip, and it's Tiffany Haddish is in it.
Okay.
And it was made by producers of, I'm going to tell you this, and then it's going to be like a big turnoff. You're going to be like, oh, waste of time. It was made by producers of Jackass and Bad Grandpas, like that gang.
Yeah.
But here's the premise.
Okay.
Because I saw that, and I was immediately turned off. I was like, bah, who cares? It's a movie, like, with a regular plot, a storyline, a good guy, a bad guy, cops and robbers, that type of thing. But certain scenes in the movie, they performed as pranks on people in real life. So they set up, like, hidden secret cameras. And then would have somebody, like, drive a car through a Dunkin' Donuts and let people around them, like, see that happen. Or there's, like, Tiffany Haddish is, like, hanging one of the guys, like, by his ankles off, like, a rooftop. And there's people, like, on the street, real, like, not actors, right? And they're filming and so their real response, their real reaction is incorporated into the movie plot. I mean, it actually looks really, really good.
Okay, I'm interested.
Yeah, and it's rated R for language and graphic nudity, which I think the graphic nudity would be of the male kind,
right,
judging from some of the pranks that were blurred out.
And their past films.
Right,
yeah, it's usually guys.
Right.
Tiffany Haddish, man, like I love her outlook in films right now. Like I read an article about her. Maybe we did talk about this, where she was she acknowledged like the glass ceiling and like difficulty for women in film, and then she was just like, I'm just gonna do everything.
Yeah,
like anything that I like, I'm just gonna do it.
She's the opposite of James Cameron.
Yeah She's just like, because I know I'm on a timer, and when I'm done, I'm done.
Yeah.
And I just think that she, and the thing is that she still does good stuff, like she's still doing like quality stuff, like, repeatedly, so it's not like she's just doing anything. But anyway, all right, so Frozen 2 trailer 2. Have you seen Frozen?
Yeah, of course.
I have
what
not.
What kind of person do you think I am, David? What kind of person will walk around this planet? Oh, sorry.
Oh. I have a story for you off air.
How awkward.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, boy. Oh, my
gosh. I don't talk to you off air.
So awkward.
Yeah. So I've never seen Frozen. I now really, really want to watch it because Frozen 2's, both their trailers look really cool.
Yeah.
Like, I guess the first one looked fine, and I just wrote it off as like a Disney princess movie or whatever.
Which it totally is.
Right. But
it's also a great movie.
Right. Apparently.
Yeah.
And Frozen 2 looks like an amazing adventure film, and I am totally on board.
You know what I thought to myself when I was done watching this trailer? I thought to myself, The Hobbit.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of reminds
me. What's his line when he's skipping through the trail and he's like, "We're going on an adventure."
So you have you ever heard the rumor about how Tarzan and Frozen are part of the same universe?
No.
Yeah. So this is weird information I know about Frozen for whatever reason. Their parents, when her, I think the, either the mother's pregnant or they have the baby, are lost at sea in the Frozen movie. And the whole idea is that Tarzan is their brother who winds up in the jungle.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I guess the guy who wrote it or whatever was like, oh, yeah, yeah, like I intended that, like, that nod.
So when's the Tarzan movie come out?
Frozen 3.
Frozen 3. Probably 2021.
Rumble in the Jungle. 2021.
Right.
All right.
No, it's probably scheduled for 20.
20, yeah, it'll get pushed back. 2020.
I loved this Frozen 2 trailer, and I love the fact that her powers, Elsa's powers, are sort of being discussed. Mm. Like, in the first movie, it was almost like a point of shame, you know, and it certainly became a point of fear, and it was sort of like she was scared of her own, you know, what she was capable of, which is such a common sort of theme. I guess what I'm trying to say is I feel like this movie looks great, and it, for a lot of reasons. One of the interesting things that caught my eye was it looks like it has a real superhero theme sort of to it, which I love for these two characters. And then they get in the sled and go on an adventure with Olaf. Like, it's perfect.
So I was distracted by your friendship bracelet while you were talking.
Okay.
And I was like, why don't we have friendship something?
We need a podcast bracelet.
Well, we need, like, you know those necklaces with, like, half hearts? But it's like, it's like half, instead of half hearts, it's like half of a headset on either side. One says pod, the other one says cast.
I got to even it. Oh my God.
I guess at BenCinema.com, if you make jewelry, I will buy this from you.
I thought I could top your idea, but I can't. I back down. I give up. I'm picturing a podcast tattoo with, like, two microphones, like a coat of arms.
Right.
Oh my God. All right.
Dr. Sleep, tell me about this.
The Shining sequel?
Yeah. No, I mean, I watched the trailer. Just walk me through it.
This could easily have been my pick of the week.
Yeah.
This trailer. So when I was looking for the trailer, I saw the headline in, like, Variety or LA Times or something. And it says the Dr. Sleep director says that the Shining sequel is a standalone movie. And I was like, the Shining? What? Like, I thought that was like a misleading headline. It is a misleading headline. But after I watch a trailer, I realize they tie a lot back to The Shining.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Look, okay.
Are we calling this a sequel?
It's totally, because he's the kid.
Right.
How could it not be a sequel?
Right.
And maybe he means standalone because you could watch and enjoy it and not, like, they'll fill you in.
That must
on whatever
be what he
needs.
Means. Yeah. He's trying to sort of beat down that audience that's going to say, like, oh, well, I didn't see The Shining. So, like, they don't want to call it The Shining 2 because so many people have not seen The Shining.
Right.
Which, by the way, for the second time this episode, I will tell you, press pause and go watch The Shining.
Yeah.
I watched The Shining. You know those same kids in the Halloween story you told? Where my dad? We were all at Chrissy's house, Chrissy's apartment in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And we watched The Shining, and we were all laying on the floor with our little snacks, pint of Haagen-Dazs or whatever, and we watched this movie, and we were all so scared when it was over. And I think we were alone in her house or something like that, and we all went to the bathroom together. Nobody wanted to be alone.
Wow. Yeah, this looks really good. I mean, it's been a long time since I've seen The Shining.
So you said it real quick, but let's just repeat it for our listeners. You saw The Shining, and you had the kid had, like, a sense that he called The Shining, right?
Right.
And the kid grows up
to be Obi-Wan Kenobi.
To be Obi-Wan Kenobi, Ewan McGregor, right?
Yeah.
And that's the star of this movie, and this movie is about that kid all grown up.
And apparently he's interacted with other people who have The Shining or whatever, and he says they all die except for this other kid that he's talking to.
Right.
Which is really interesting. So, because I don't remember, I mean, I remember the iconic scenes in The Shining. I'm going to have to watch it again.
Yeah.
I have seen it. I'm going to have to watch it again. I thought it was paranormal, but they make it like I thought it was slightly paranormal and slightly like just psychotic is the psychological. And it was more leaned on, was this real or was this not? Was it just a psychological breakdown? But this makes it straight up no paranormal superpower, some sort of something.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just psychological.
Yeah. It definitely, I agree. I've seen The Shining many times.
Mm-hmm.
but I agree with you. I haven't seen it lately, and knowing what I just pulled from this trailer, I want to watch it again with that lens,
right.
You know, and see what I see. This is exciting. This comes out this October,
yeah.
Halloween. Like, I'm on board. I think
Stephen King was like not about it, surprisingly.
Really?
But I'll preface this: Stephen King has been up for a lot of things of his that have been total crap. So.
I don't know, man. Cash a check and move on. Let's do it.
Right. Yeah.
Dr. Sleep. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So what's been going on this week?
Well, it was a quiet weekend. It was disappointing nationally. We're going to talk in a minute about Men in Black. I was disappointed. I would almost say the same thing this weekend that I said last weekend, which was that the movies did better than the headlines and the movies deserved better than the headlines. Yes, they're down and the numbers don't lie and, you know, whatever. Business is business. Part of it is the weather. Part of it is graduations. Part of it is the time of year. There's always a little bit of a lull in the beginning of June. But part of it is pre-Toy Story 4. Like, I think there's a lot of families and a lot of people. Not everybody goes to a movie every week.
Right.
So if there's like some kid like bugging mom to take him to the movies, you know, she might be holding out for Toy Story 4. I'm not trying to like whistle in the dark or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, I often see in the theaters a lull before the bigger the movie release. Often there's a lull, like the weekend before Star Wars, nobody puts movies out.
Right.
The weekend before Avengers, nobody puts movies out. Now this weekend, there should have been a little bit of exception to that because Men in Black is its own strong franchise, but still, I fully expected a little dip in the action before Toy Story 4. So this coming weekend is all about Toy Story 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Life of Pets 2, did it do as well as you thought?
It held up.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it held up. Everybody loves it.
I saw you added more screenings over in Ephrata, so.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, cool. We did.
All right, well, let's move on to our review of Men in Black. So spoilers, check the notes if you don't want to know about Men in Black. International. Penn, what did you think of this movie? This could have been, what did you think of this movie versus, what did you think of this movie?
Yeah, this episode is going to come and go without a Who Read It Best segment.
That's right.
Who read the best headline? Here's what I thought of Men in Black. I told my friend, I gave Men
the
in Black.
The only one you have.
Right. I've given the following review to a lot of movies over the years because I find it's a succinct way to express my feelings. If you're looking to go to a movie and you want to have fun, you want to get out of the house and do something, and this afternoon is the day that you're going to do it, Men in Black is great. You should go see it. It's a lot of fun, some good laughs, whatever. But I'm not going to try to talk you into I'm not saying you got to find time this weekend to go see Men in Black.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's a good movie. I have nothing bad to say about it. It wasn't like amazing. It didn't rock my world. It was fun. I had a good time. You know, I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as we've said a number of times, like, I'm a pretty easy critic. So to me, it falls in the category of like, hey, if you want to come watch a fun movie, this is a good movie for you.
I am a couple movies. I think I saw Men in Black 2. I think that was the last one. Has there been two since then or just one?
I don't even know.
See, that's it. I don't know how many there have been.
But this movie is clearly
its own thing.
Clearly, like 100% is its own thing.
Yeah. There's only like one nod to the old.
Right. The picture in the back of the office.
Yeah. And it's a nod to the first movie. So it's not like the other ones. So here's my thing. I'm going to total 100% agree with you. I walked out of the theater and the question was, did you like it? And I said, I didn't dislike it. I mean, I don't regret watching it. It's not a bad movie. It's a fine movie. It's not great. It's just okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's even fun at times.
Yeah.
I think Kamal, whatever his name is from Stuber, is... He has some really funny lines. He's got some really groaners too, but his character's pretty cool. Tessa Thompson is,
she's great.
She's amazing. Chris Hemsworth is amazing. It's good. And my note was of this walking out. I think that one of the reasons that I felt dissatisfied has nothing to do with the movie itself, but I think a semi-problem with the franchise, from what I can remember watching the other movies, is it's such an interesting and crazy world to live in, and all they do is hint at all these little things.
Yeah.
And I'm the type of person who really likes mythology.
Yeah.
So I would love like a definitive explanation on something, or just like a comment on something. But instead they just show you like they hint at this, hint at that. And at first it's really cool, but by the end of the movie, you're like, there's so much stuff in the air that like you really don't know anything about this world. Anything is possible, and anything could happen at any time. And it's both a really good thing and a really kind of like, I guess blasé is kind of like, it's not bad. It's just kind of, you get, you're like, well, since I know I can expect anything, I'm not surprised by anything at the same time. So,
you know what my problem is?
What's that?
It's time for What's Your Problem, Pen?
What's your problem, Pen?
How come we haven't made that into a jingle yet? Here's my problem.
Yeah.
You know what my problem is? Here's my problem.
Yeah.
My problem is, I don't...
I can hear Men in Black playing in the background.
Right. My problem is Men in Black is too loud right now for us to do the podcast. No. Oh, wait. I lost my train of thought.
What's the problem, Pen? What's your problem?
But then I got so busy repeating myself to be funny that I forgot what my problem was.
That's my problem with Pen this week.
Seriously, I forgot it.
Really? Well, maybe it'll come back to you.
The hell was it?
Are we on board with this movie?
100% on board.
Yeah. Because I didn't like it, so... I mean, I didn't dislike it, so I'm on board. If our rating system is on board or off board...
On board.
On board.
On board.
Yeah.
Without hesitation.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was a good movie. Shoot. Okay, well, while I'm trying to remember what my problem is...
Okay.
Which shows you how big of a problem it was. Let me ask you, as a qualified... huge Avengers fan.
Right.
Did we like the little joke about the hammer?
Yeah, I love that joke.
Me too.
Problem was, it was in all of the trailers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you knew it was coming.
But I had forgotten it. speaking of me forgetting things, yeah. I started another movie on Netflix that I had already seen.
Please tell me it was Greta. Please tell me it was Greta.
It was Dawn Wall.
Okay.
And I pulled it up and I thought to myself, oh, this is great because I love Free Solo.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been meaning to watch Dawn Wall because everyone talks about how great it was. I mean, what a great movie.
Yeah.
And as soon as it started playing, I was like, oh, right. I saw it. What an idiot.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Let's get into our listener notes. Okay.
This is when episode 22, we're on 21.
21.
21 is when we started getting real. The gloves came off, and it's getting real when you start getting accused of a political bias.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing.
Yeah.
We love all feedback.
Right.
Good or bad.
No, I'm going to say it differently. We love all feedback, good, especially bad.
Especially bad.
Because that's fun.
Yeah. So this was some. Not total negative feedback, but it had a negative connotation.
I love the fact
and that's what I liked about
it. I love the fact. I want to keep talking about it for a sec before we say what it was. I love the fact that before the negative feedback was like a passing, like I love the show. I love you guys. You know, it's really great, but you suck.
I know two people who, when they read this, like they were like, I might listen to your podcast.
Yeah.
And they both said, or one I told about it, and they were like, well, now I have to listen to find out what they're talking about. And the other one who told me about the comment that they saw was like, once I read that, I had to listen to.
So the comment, you tell us what was it?
I love the podcast.
But
I hate the liberal BS stick to movie talk.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? I don't even think he used the word but. He said, I love the podcast. I listen regularly. Dot, dot, dot. I could do without all
something
the liberal
like
BS.
Yeah. Stick to movies.
Stick to movies. Yeah. Bucko.
Bucko.
Did he say bucko or was that implied?
That was implied.
I pictured like Ron Howard from Happy Days.
That's actually who left the comment.
Stick to the movies, bucko.
Bucko.
Ron Howard, the uncredited narrator of Arrested Development.
I love how your mind is blown by that old fact.
My life is changed. I once was lost.
I now am found. What's up?
I still have to watch the last season. When you get to the last season of Arrested Development, I haven't watched it yet, so I'll watch it with you.
Now, as long as we're talking about random comedies,
yeah.
Please, please tell me, you need to be versed, not just have seen it. Please tell me you're versed with She's Out of My League.
No.
Have you ever seen it? You got to watch it.
I don't know.
That's your homework for this week. She's Out of My League, because when I say Home Depot on the back, what's up, you need to laugh and know what I'm talking about.
All right. So, yeah, this was an iTunes review, and we thought it was really funny.
So there's too much liberal BS, so therefore, we're now going to present our new segment, What's New on Fox?
Just recently reported on Fox News as of reading this. Oh, man.
So, in other listener notes, we have a new listener by name of Kevin.
Okay.
Comes to us from all the way from San Francisco.
Oh, Snap, Crackle, and Pop.
Snap, Crackle, and Pop is right. Kevin is one of the hippest dudes we know.
Yeah.
And he's a good friend of Penn Cinema. He's been with us for years. And he lives in the Bay Area. We like him anyway. He's from Detroit. And there's talk he might move to Nashua, New Hampshire.
Whoa.
Not really, but really.
Whoa.
Which, we love New England, so what's up? That would be great.
Yeah.
So anyway, Kevin has no listener notes.
Is the notes?
he's our new listener this week. But here's my note. Here's why I put him on the list. Because I was talking to him, and I'm curious how you would answer this. Or no, I'm curious if you would agree with what I said. Kevin's a busy dude. I mean, really, he's a high-end guy. He's got a lot on his plate.
Yeah.
I don't know if he has time for the frivolity
of the Penn Cinema podcast.
Right. The chaos that is the PC podcast. So I said to Kevin, I said, listen, I'm not asking you. Now, don't get me wrong. Kevin's a friend, and I'm sure he's going to listen to the multiple episodes.
Right.
But I was being polite. So I said, I'm not asking you to listen to the whole episode. I said, listen to 10 minutes of it. You'll get a sense of what it is. And then he smiled. And I said, actually, just listen to the first 5 minutes. And I said, you know what? Just 1 minute. The first minute of any episode tells you everything you need to know about what you're getting into. You think that's fair? One minute gives you a review?
I mean,
a sense?
Yeah, I think that's pretty. I mean, especially when we opened as laughing as hard as we did last time. So one of the things I heard this week from some people I know that were listening, the wife was listening to the podcast, and the husband walked in the room, and he's like, is that David? And then he said, I laughed so hard. And he's like, I've never known you to laugh that hard. Or he's like, I didn't know if it was a real thing I was hearing. So anyway, Pirate Dave. He always hits us with some pretty...
Oh, my. This guy is well-informed.
Yeah. Last week, we were talking about, wouldn't it be great if Dune came out on my birthday?
Dear David.
Dune comes out 2020, November 20th, which means...
Wait, that's not your birthday?
The preview night is the 19th, which is my birthday.
Mine's... blown.
Oh my. What? It's like the world is coming together.
Hang on a sec. I got to write down my shopping list. Buy birthday cake for David.
This is going to be it.
Is Dune going to be an IMAX title?
Well, with this guy doing it, I can't see how it wouldn't be.
So we're going to have to report on that.
Yeah.
Stay tuned to podcast, Penn Cinema Podcast. We'll keep you informed, because here's the thing. If Dune is being premiered on November 19th, now November 19th is the kind of date where I can't fool around. Like, it's either going to be Dune in IMAX or it's going to be some other title that I can't preempt.
Right.
So I'm not trying to be wild and crazy and say no matter what. But what I am saying is, if Dune is being released on your birthday in IMAX, we are having a legit 400-person birthday party for David.
Yes,
your ticket to Dune gets you a slice of birthday cake. We're going to be singing happy birthday. We're gonna be giving away T-shirts.
This is going to be amazing.
Yes. And it's your 18th birthday, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, that'd be
finally
great.
Finally old enough for
buy some dirty magazines, go vote, you know.
Right next to the Tutankhamun machine.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah. And apparently this movie's like Dune news. We didn't talk about it, but apparently the Duncan Idaho, my man Jason Momoa has finished filming for the first. I think it's he's done filming for the first two movies.
This, yeah, I have to. I mean, I said it before, but this movie really is going to be a big deal.
Yeah, I want to follow up on a listener feedback from Justin Stolzfus, who wrote in a couple weeks ago about the Studio Ghibli films. I looked into it, and Spirited Away shows, I think, in October.
Ah.
So come October, one of those Sunday that it's out, we'll have to go.
Nice.
I'm going to expose you to the wonderful world of Studio Ghibli.
Nice.
So.
All right, I'm on board.
Cool.
I also forgot to report that Penn Cinema has hooked up two Fathom events in the rock and roll world. Grateful Dead concert from the summer of 91 at Giant Stadium when they opened Eyes of the World, which, fun fact, that concert was three nights after Amy's first Grateful Dead concert, which was June 14th, 1991 at RFK.
Wow.
RFK
Are you
going
to be there to see that movie?
I don't know. I mean, I'm definitely going to watch it. I might watch it by myself.
Yeah.
You know, it depends what's going on that night.
Right.
But anyway, we got some listener feedback. Like we said before, we like the good, we like the bad.
Yeah.
Take the both, and there you have the facts of life.
Podcast.
The facts of life.
Yeah.
So when are they going to make the Facts of Life movie?
Right after our movie.
There's so much content. The Facts of Life movie, Different Strokes movie, The Cosby Show. No, not so much.
Oh, man.
Put the brakes on that project.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the Mystery Gobble wrote in, and he was letting us have it. I took a little offense. I had to take a deep breath and walk away.
Did you?
Yep. Gather myself. So you and I were commenting. You think it was you thought it was you're telling me it was episode 20.1. I think it was episode 19. But at some episode, we were talking about, wouldn't it be funny if the two of us made a sleep
a sleep podcast,
like intended to put you to sleep, right? And usually when I open myself up, I do so either on purpose or welcoming, you know, like it's all in fun, right? But I did not even realize what I had set myself up for. So the comment that I made with a straight face was, wouldn't it be funny if we made a podcast to put people to sleep? So, of course, Scott writes in and is like, you already do.
Yep.
He's like, how do you think I fall asleep each week? Put you on, and 5 minutes later, I'm sound asleep, boring the hell out of me.
Yep.
I could take it.
Yeah.
I ain't scared.
Yeah.
I ain't scared.
You're willing to take on James Cameron. You take on the Mystery Gobble.
You think I'm scared of the Mystery Gobble?
No, man.
Nah, what's he going to do? Come peck me to death?
He's a mystery, so nobody, you'd never know he was around.
He's an enigma. Gotcha! That's what he is.
Oh, my
I ain't
word.
Scared of enigmas.
No.
Because Batman always wins, bitch. No.
So Chris Hall Productions hit me up with the exact same joke.
Oh my god.
Yeah. He was like, I should write it and say that you already make a podcast to fall asleep to.
That's the difference between Chris Hall Productions and the Mystery Gobble.
I know.
One of them wrote in.
One of them's too chicken.
One of them had the courage.
Yeah.
The conviction. To sit at his desk and compose a strongly worded letter.
When you can tell the people you love.
Right. You
the
speak
bad
up.
News. Yeah.
You speak up. That's what friends do, yo.
Yeah, yo.
So wait a minute. Should we like wake everybody up? Because we're almost done. We're getting to the end of the podcast. Should we like tell Scott, like, hey, buddy, time to wake up, man. Go back to work. It would be like Inception, where we have like that song, that French song playing.
Oh,
so people are like cued to wake up. At the end of every podcast, we cue them so they wake up and don't get in trouble with their boss or their wife.
All right. Okay, so let's move on.
I got a good list, man. I've had a really good week of viewing.
Okay.
So we don't need to rehash, but I already told you how excited I am to be into Arrested Development.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's hot shit. I started that show that you told me about, horrible, evil, vile, humiliating.
Yeah, yeah.
What is that? The Ted Bundy story.
Yeah, the Ted Bundy.
I was really into it.
Uh-huh.
But it's heavy.
Yeah, it is heavy.
And about 15 minutes into it, I was really excited that you told me about it. That's the wrong word. But I thought, oh, this is going to be good. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I think Zac Efron, from what I've seen so far, is great. But I had to turn it off because that's when Kayla walked in. Kayla does not do heavy.
Right.
She doesn't do scary. She doesn't do intense. Right. She does do Arrested Development. This is what it's like when Penn's your dad. We watch Veep and Arrested Development and The Office.
Yeah.
But we don't watch that horrible, evil, and evil. So I also watched The Meg.
Okay. Yeah?
Yeah.
You texted me that you were watching The Meg, and I was like, well, when are you going to get up to 3 views? Yeah. Like The Master.
David was like, call me back when you've seen it 4 times. Like, I'm not impressed.
What did you think of The Meg?
I loved it.
It's so bad, it's good, right?
Right. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah, that's it. Like, it's so bad. But how about the part where they kill the Meg, but then there's a bigger Meg that jumps out of the water?
Yeah.
Did you know that was coming?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Well, I knew it was coming because there was still like another 45 minutes of the movie left. And I thought either there's a lot of credits in this film.
All their Patreon supporters.
You know what I will say? And I'm not trying to be like a jerk here.
Mm-hmm.
But it's getting, with every passing film, harder and harder to take Jason Statham seriously.
Oh, yeah, I stopped taking him seriously a long time ago.
Yeah.
He's just a blanket cool to me.
What?
He's blanket cool. Like he's just cool.
In a good way?
Yeah, if he's being ridiculous, he's cool because he's being funny.
No.
If he's being a badass, he's cool because he's being a badass.
No, I just think he's a dick.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You bad-mouthing my boy?
I am. Yeah. Did I ever tell you about when I tried to meet him at CinemaCon?
Yeah, you said he was. Yeah, he said he was a dick.
And then now that I had that experience,
Anne Hathaway and I had dinner with him. I mean, I had dinner with him the other night, and he was fine.
You and your girl. Wait a minute. You denied those rumors.
Well, the truth comes out now.
Bastard, holding out on us.
Yeah.
So, in the spirit of a good shark movie,
I
turned off The Meg when I was done, and Kayla and I watched Soul Surfer.
Oh, is that the one where she loses her arm or something?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just making a joke to make a segue out of The Meg, but Soul Surfer is a great movie because...
I just imagine someone out running a Meg on a Segway. I don't know why. Segue out of The Meg. Sorry.
Soul Surfer is a movie that Marley and Kayla and I watched, and I guess Amy involuntarily. Me and the girls growing up always, when the girls were growing up, We all four of us. I'm not trying to say anything. All four of us would watch movies. And when we got into a movie, we would watch it like on repeat, like over and over and over. And I know a lot of families can relate to that. But so I remember one time we were at the beach and the girls and I were up on we were like in a little condo and they had like a little nook where they had like a DVD player. And I remember literally watching Soul Surfer at the beach, going downstairs, getting more snacks, coming upstairs and watching it again. And it was Aquamarine was around that same time, if you remember that tween movie. Anyway, so we watched Soul Surfer. Good movie. I like the message. It's not great. I'm not trying to say it's like Kayla and I were joking around about the bad acting and everything like that.
So let me ask this question.
Yeah.
Now that Amy has her doctorate.
Dr. Ketchum.
Yeah. Now that Dr. Ketchum is in the house. Do you ever feel like you're wasting her time?
When I talk to her? Every day, David. Every day.
She's only got so many minutes in the day.
Oh, my God. She's got the exact same number of minutes as us.
What?
But she got way more important things to do with them.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah. So I'm sitting there at dinner just trying to think of something intelligent to say to her.
And now, like, she's got this title, so you know she's got more important
Not just
things.
Anybody can talk to her.
Right.
Right. You don't just walk up to Dr. Ketchum and start telling her about Stuber. I was watching the Frozen trailer in the kitchen today.
Yeah.
And you know how you can sort of see when you're, like, if the light
is correct. You can see the reflection of the people behind you in your computer screen.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm sitting in the kitchen watching Frozen, and I see her in the – like, I see her reflection in the screen while I'm watching the trailer. As she walks behind me, looks at the computer like, what is this idiot doing now? And then, like, she didn't roll her eyes, but I feel like she wanted to.
You know what I mean? I got doctor things
right,
to do.
Right, I got doctor stuff. What are you doing? Doctor Stove.
Kids too important. Right, you wouldn't right, understand. Right.
So last week we mentioned Kayla and I are working through the John Hughes right. lineup. So we watched 16 Candles last week, which we both really enjoyed.
Right.
Watched Breakfast Club this week.
Okay.
Which I forgot. It's a pretty heavy movie.
Oh, like Kayla doesn't do heavy. I don't know if you know that about her.
Right. Well, I tuned into Penn Cinema Podcast, so I'm all up to speed on that now.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, we both enjoyed it. I enjoyed it just because it's a good movie.
Yeah.
Kayla enjoyed it because now she sort of, you know, knows that all those cultural references. But it's not a fun, like, the trailer always includes them, like, dancing, that part where they smoke a joint and stuff. And mm-hmm. But it's like there's a lot of screaming at each other. There's a lot of crying. It's really just like five characters in the entire movie. They never leave the school. Whatever. I'm just saying, yeah. Like, I'm not trying to say it's a bad movie, but – like, for example, I just watched it, and I'm probably good for a while.
For a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I know when you texted me about The Meg, I asked, did you convince Kayla that was a John Hughes movie? I'll introduce you to him after this one.
Right.
So I was – I don't know if I was busy this week or what, but I didn't really do much entertainment. I finished up the book for the Orbital Sword, which is Nemesis Game by James S.A. Corey, which is amazing. I loved it. I finished the Ted Bundy tapes, which is after you finish the movie, watch the tapes. They're really good. And I just listened to a lot of like random podcasts and doing art stuff and things. But I feel like this week, like even we were talking earlier about the Joker. Now I want to watch the Dark Knight trilogy again.
Yeah.
So. We'll see you next week. I should have some more stuff to talk
do
about.
Do you have any movies that you like can go to where you just put it on while you're doing other stuff?
I can't.
Yeah.
I can't.
Because like, then you get sucked in watching it.
Yeah. I know a lot of people that like will put The Office on in the background and stuff. Part of it is like with my synesthesia, like I just can't.
Oh, yeah.
I just can't. Like it's painting a picture in my head and I get sucked in. So it's even difficult for me to be like in a bar if the TV is too loud, like, and to concentrate on other things.
Probably everyone in the bar would be really understanding if you're like, hey, guys, can you turn it down?
Can you guys not have the sports thing on that you're all here for? Like,
that you're all here for? The sports thing?
Yeah. That's why I love the food, but I can't go to Buffalo Wild Wings. There's just too many TVs.
Food's not that good.
Well, okay, good point. Yeah, I just can't go there.
You're not missing anything.
Yeah.
It's no mix. Tell you what, man. Shout out to my boy Mix.
Boom.
Yeah.
Hey, so it's been a long one this week, but thanks for sticking with us. We're good. We had some good quality things to talk about. It's like, did we talk last week? Because it's like we didn't with all the stuff we had to talk about.
A lot
about.
Of catching up to do.
Yeah. So, you know, we talked about feedback. We'd love to hear from you. podcast@pensima.com. iTunes is going away, so hit it up and leave us a review on there before it goes bye-bye. You can leave a review on Stitcher, anywhere else you get your podcasts. We're there. If you have a place you get podcasts, you don't know that we're there, email me, let me know, and we'll be there just for you.
We ain't scared.
Yeah, we ain't scared. So once again for the podcast, I'm David Bolton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. Take care and party on.
's for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.